Representative Wild, where are you now and are you safe?
I am safe. I can't disclose where I am now. I am with about 300 to 400 other members of Congress being held at an undisclosed location.
Do you have any idea how long you are going to be there?
We've just been told within the last half hour that they have cleared the Capitol of the intruders. I'm not going to call them protesters because they are far more than protesters. And that we will be either returning to the House floor or to some other location to finish the business that we started on this morning.
So you're planning to go back to work tonight?
Yes.
Wow. Let's go back a couple of hours. Can you take us through the events of the day from your perspective?
I personally was on very high alert. I think most people were because we knew that there were a lot of protests going on. We were getting regular texts from Capitol Police telling us that the perimeter had been breached, that people who were in their offices were to remain in their offices quiet and, you know, not answer the door for anybody. And those of us who were on the House floor felt somewhat safer because we were in the Capitol knowing that there were a lot of police around. But at some point, there started to be a commotion out in the hallway, and the Capitol Police who were in the gallery with us locked the doors and barricaded them. And obviously that caused a lot of alarm. We started to hear a lot of banging on the doors. We were being told to stay quiet and stay calm. But we were also told that there were gas masks underneath each seat that we should take out and be prepared to use because they were going to be tear gassing the intruders. And so we all complied and got our gas masks out.
And what happened after that?
And then the next thing that happened, I was in a group of about 20 people who were among the last to evacuate. And we actually were delayed in our evacuation because a new disturbance had happened out in the hallway. So they closed and locked the doors again and told us to get down. And the next thing that happened was there was a lot of glass breaking and shots being fired within the House chamber. We were told to get down, which we did. And a number of us made phone calls to our families.
I saw a photo of you as making the rounds. I don't know if you've seen it, lying on the House floor. It looks like a terrifying moment.
It was. I remember looking up at one point and seeing a photographer taking a picture of me, so I assume that was the photographer. I don't know what the sequence of events were, but I know that the shots were being, when I was reacting that way, there were shots that were being fired. The gentleman behind me is Jason Crow from Colorado, who's former military and was very reassuring, but it was scary. I lost a shoe in the process, which just made me more anxious because I was afraid I would have trouble running if I needed to with, you know, minus a shoe. So it was an extremely stressful situation. And at the same time, not sure, you know, whether we were about to get shot or not.
So you said you called your family. What was that like? Did you reach them? What did you tell them?
I actually texted my son and said, get your sister on a conference call. And they FaceTimed me. I was hesitant to do that because I didn't want to alarm them. But at the same time, I didn't know what was going to happen next. And I wanted them to hear from me. I've since learned that they were able to hear gunshots in the background while we were talking. And I just gave them a very short report on what, you know, we were doing and that we were trying to evacuate. And that I loved them. And then
eventually you were able to leave the House chamber. What happened next?
We were escorted down a series of hallways and steps that I couldn't recreate if I had to, and taken over to one of the office buildings through the tunnels. And a large group of us were taken to this location where we now are.
The day's events clearly unprecedented. And yet you said you're planning to go back to work tonight. How do you move forward from events like today?
I don't think we have any choice but to move forward, especially with the business that we set out to do today. We set out to preserve our democracy, and we're damn well going to do it, regardless of what's happened. You know, you can't give in to this kind of violence and threat, or you essentially given in to the enemy. And so I think it's incredibly important that we finish what we set out to do. It will probably be the wee hours of the morning, because we were only on the first state, you know, where we were, that was having objections. We know that there are at least three, Pennsylvania included. And, you know, we've got to get it done.
President Trump today, while these events were going on, did make a statement to his supporters, and he called the election fraudulent and said that it was stolen from him in that statement. He also did urge protesters to go home peacefully at that point. I think this was after the events that you had described. What's your response to that?
My response is that the president was throwing fuel on the fire and making those statements and then half-heartedly encouraging people to go home. We essentially had what was a riot on our hands, and it took the president an awfully long time to address it. And the fact that he again repeated his false claims of a fraudulent election and that it was stolen from him was nothing more than an effort to incite further action by his supporters.
President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration's coming up. It's January 20th. How does the nation move forward to that event? And what do you think needs to happen next to maintain or preserve America's democratic processes?
Well, that's a very good question, Jen, because one of the things that I've been thinking is that for months now, we haven't allowed visitors to the Capitol, the public that generally gets to watch democracy in action from the very seats that we were in today, you know, up in the gallery. They haven't been allowed in for months because of COVID. And now when we're finally hopefully drawing close to the vaccines and so forth, that people might be able to congregate again, I think it's going to be a very, very long time, if ever, before we resume that kind of open and transparent democratic process that has always been a hallmark of this place. So it saddens me greatly. After 9/11 happened, Washington suddenly had barricades in front of federal buildings and so forth, and those have remained ever since. I truly hope that this doesn't change our democratic process, but obviously when you've got people who are willing to inflict violence on the people who are trying to uphold our democracy, well, that's just, you know, really a great concern, and I don't know how we deal with this going forward.